Good morning. If you've not met, my name is Steve. I'm the vicar here. It's great to welcome you and welcome you at home as well if you're watching. Shall we pray as we come to look at this passage? Do you get that open, page 994, Matthew 25, and let me pray. Thank you, Lord God, for these words of Jesus spoken to us by your Spirit now. Would they arrest our hearts? Would they capture our minds and imaginations and make us ready for the return of your Son? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, picture the scene. It's New Year's Eve, 1999. I wonder where you were, if you were alive then. 1999, about to break into a new millennium. And people of the world were watching time ticking by. Do you remember where you were and what you were doing? My brother at the time was living in Australia. He lived in Sydney. And that night he went down to Sydney Harbour Bridge to watch the most amazing display of fireworks. And right at the end, the climax moment was when the harbour bridge was lit up with this word, eternity. Eternity. It's quite a striking way to end the millennium and begin a new one, that word eternity. And the story behind it is remarkable. There's a man who is called Arthur Stace. He'd lived a reckless life. He'd had a terrible childhood. His mum owned a brothel. His dad was a violent drunk. He grew up much the same. And then one day he became a Christian. And his life was turned around. And one night Stace went to church and he heard a minister preaching on eternity. And he recalls the word. It's November 1932. And the minister said this, "Eternity, eternity, oh that I could shout and sound eternity all over Sydney. You have to meet eternity. Where will you spend eternity?" And Arthur Stace was seized and gripped by that word eternity. He put his hand in his pocket. He had a bit of chalk. He went out of church that night and he wrote the word eternity in beautiful script on the pavement. And he spent the rest of his life writing that word all over Sydney. He wrote it 500,000 times before he died. All over Sydney. Arthur Stace was a man who was gripped by eternity and getting people ready for the day for where they would spend it. And I guess he never thought that his handwriting would appear on Sydney Harbour Bridge for the new millennium. Friends, eternity is something that's coming for us all. And the question we have to answer today is this: where will you be spending eternity? And that's the call of these chapters, of chapter 24 and 25 in Matthew's Gospel. Jesus wants to get his disciples and us ready for eternity because he is coming back. He came the first time and he says, "I will come again." And the challenge is, will we be found ready to face eternity? Where will we spend eternity? And it'll be in one of two places, Jesus tells us, either in heaven or in hell. Did you spot the way chapter 24 finished last week? I can barely read it. It's so horrifying. It describes hell as a place with the hypocrites, where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth, regret and sorrow forever. It's unbearable to think of that. Unbearable. So Jesus tells this parable of the virgins to hit home the point to us today and to them then, that we need to be ready for eternity. Now we might wonder who we are in this parable. Well, we're not the bridegroom, that's a picture of Jesus. The wedding banquet is a picture of heaven. Well, who are we? We'll be one of the 10 bridesmaids, the 10 virgins, one of the groups of five. Now, and our people love a wedding, don't they? And Jesus tells a story of 10 girls in a wedding ceremony. They could have just as easily been called bridesmaids. I'm sure they're excited about the big day. They knew what they had to do. Now, bridesmaids generally today walk with the bride, but these 10 girls, they were to walk with the bridegroom into the reception. And their job was to be part of the lighting team, to hold the lamp in their hands and to welcome the bridegroom in. But we see that five were ready and five were not. Look at verse 2 of chapter 25. Jesus says that five of them were foolish, the ones who weren't ready, and five were wise, the ones who were ready. And the cry comes, verse 6, here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him. And five are ready, and five are not. Five get into the banquet, and five are left outside, door shut, too late. It is chilling. It's chilling. Jesus is coming back. Are you ready? The five who don't get in tell us how not to be ready. So listen. Jesus is coming back, and foolish people say, there's no rush to be ready. There's no rush to be ready. These foolish bridesmaids were not ready. They knew exactly what was going to happen. They knew the bridegroom was coming. They knew they're on the lighting team, but they didn't bring enough oil. They thought to themselves, there's no rush. We'll be fine. When we hear he's coming, we'll fill up our oil. We'll be fine. But Jesus keeps stressing that actually we don't know when he's going to come back. So we have to be ready now. Look at that final verse of chapter 25, verse 13. Jesus says, therefore keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour. He's coming back. The hour is unknown, but we can be sure he will return. It will come, so we must be ready. And we can foolishly think that because he's not yet come, and it's been nearly 2,000 years since he was last here, that there's no rush. We can say, well, maybe when I'm older, I want to live a bit first before. I'll get myself ready in a couple of months, or when things calm down at work or at home or at college. Maybe when I've got a family, I'll get ready. There's no rush, we think. And that's the mistake these five bridesmaids made. They thought even if they didn't prepare particularly well for the bridegroom coming, that when he comes, it'll be fine, there'll be no rush. I can just sort things out then. Jesus is coming, and we are fools to think that there is no rush, that we've got time on our side. He will come when we least expect it, like a thief in the night. That's what we saw last week. So we need to make sure we're ready now, today, and tomorrow, and the next day. We need to make ready today that we're ready. Don't wait till tomorrow. Don't wait till the next day. He could come today. Foolish people think that there's no rush. But also, foolish people think that it'll be all right. I could rely on others. They thought they could rely on others. That's what these foolish bridesmaids thought. They call came. They all woke up. They trimmed their lamps, but their oil ran out. But they thought, it's fine. Those girls are always ready. They've got everything in their handbag. They've got more oil. Let's say verse 8, give us some of your oil. But the wise bridesmaids can't. They say, no, there may not be enough for both of us. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some yourself. You see, when it comes to the crunch, they could not rely on anybody else. It wasn't enough that the other bridesmaids were ready. There was nothing the wise bridesmaids could do at the end of the day to help them. The important thing was this, that each bridesmaid was ready herself. How foolish we are to think that when Jesus returns, because my friends are ready, because my wife is ready, because my kids are ready, because my church family are ready, I'll be fine. The people I hang around with, they're kind of ready sort of people, they're kind of keen. I'll be ready because they're ready, they'll get me ready, they'll sort it out in the end. You cannot rely on anybody else's readiness for the return of the Lord. It's about each individual being ready. That's where these bridesmaids came unstuck. No substitute for being ready. Friends, are you ready? Well, when these unready, foolish bridesmaids return and the door is shut, they have plan C. Do you see that? They knock and knock at the door. Verse 11, they say, Lord, Lord, open the door for us. Ever hopeful thinking, he'll let us in anyway. How foolish they were to think that. You see, fools think that everyone gets into heaven anyway. They thought it'll be all right. Everyone will get in the end. Well, what does the bridegroom say to them? He says, verse 12, "Truly I tell you, I don't know you." He wouldn't let them in. And so many people, friends, they are fooled in thinking like these five foolish virgins. They think it'll be all right. Everyone gets in the end, don't they? Okay, we might say, I've shown no real interest. I've never really been going to church at all. I haven't made much of Jesus, but I think it'll be fine in the end, won't it? You know, he'll just let us in, won't he? That is a dangerous lie to believe, that too many people believe, I find. To think you can go through life ignoring Jesus and ignoring who he is and what he's done for you, and then actually to think we'll be all right at the end. We kid ourselves at our peril. We can knock at the door of heaven as much as we like and plead, "Lord, Lord, open the door for us." But unless we are ready, the door will remain shut. When doors shut in the Bible, they don't open again. Think of the ark. When the ark door was shut, it was too late. And when the door of heaven is closed, finally, it'll be too late. We need to be ready personally. Jesus says, verse 13, "Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour." Jesus says, please, 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 make sure you're ready. Make sure you're ready. We are fools to doubt the words and warnings of Jesus. We are fools to do nothing about them. So how can we be like the five wise bridesmaids? What is the wise response? Well, it's simply this. Jesus is coming back. Wise people are ready. The wise virgins, bridesmaids, were the ones who were ready for the coming of the bridegroom. It's that simple. The shout came, "Here comes the groom." Out they run, trim their lamps, and they have plenty of oil, so their lamps keep on burning, 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 and they keep burning, and they follow the bridegroom into the wedding banquet, and once they're all in, the door shuts. They were prepared, they were ready, they were burning brightly as people ready for the bridegroom. But when the foolish bridesmaids turned up, what did the bridegroom say? This is key in this passage. What's the difference between these two groups? Verse 12, the bridegroom says, "To those who are not welcome, truly I tell you, I don't know you." The wise bridesmaids who had their lamps burning were clearly those who know the bridegroom, who were trusting the bridegroom, who were following the bridegroom, burning brightly to the end, ready when he came. And they were welcomed into heaven. You see, to be ready, we need to know the bridegroom. We need to know Jesus. We need to be able to say, "I am ready. I know Jesus. I'm trusting in his death in my place. I'm trusting as my risen Savior. I'm trusting my Lord to get me into glory. He's done it all for me. I trust in him and I know him." Being a Christian is not just a ticket into heaven. It's a life of knowing Jesus personally. And that changes everything. How do we make sure we are ready for the Lord's return? So we are welcomed into the heavenly banquet. Well, we need to know the Saviour, Jesus. We need to follow him. Bow the knee to him. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Outrageous, but true. But you know what? We can be sitting here this morning at All Saints, Crowborough, thinking, well, this just doesn't apply to me. Do you know what's surprising about this parable? Is that Jesus is telling it to his disciples. He's teaching them about his return and preparing them for it. And what's striking about this parable is it's told by Jesus to his followers. And Jesus wants to warn them and us to keep watching. He tells them straight about the signs at the end of the times before the Lord Jesus returns. And he says some very sobering words. Have a look with me back at chapter 24. Chapter 24. Let's read verses 10 to 30. And they're sobering words as Jesus describes what it will be like before he returns, the signs of the end of the times. Jesus says this. You're looking at it? Chapter 24, verse 10. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Look at verse 12, it's unbelievable. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. The love of most will grow cold. Those who follow me, many of their loves will grow cold towards me. But, verse 13, the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. These are chilling, sobering words from Jesus to his followers. Just think, Judas is listening to this, isn't he? What happens to Judas? He betrays Jesus for money. And he ends up not following Jesus. So the challenge of this parable comes to us all. Many of us have heard about Jesus from our youngest years. But are we trusting and continuing to follow the Lord Jesus? Keep watch, Jesus says. Because you do not know the day or the hour. Be ready. Follow Jesus each day. Don't let your love for me grow dim. Don't let it fade. Keep it burning brightly to the end. And if we're trusting Jesus, it's not enough that we made a decision 10 years ago, 20 years ago. We need to be trusting Jesus today. Daily following him. We might have had an amazing experience years ago, and yet today our hearts are cold. Maybe you think, well, when I was younger, I was much keener. I was following Jesus more brightly, but now I'm kind of like just bobbing along, just coming along. That's not good enough. It's not good enough. We keep on trusting and loving and serving Jesus. We keep on relying on him. Faith that's ready for his return is faith that's trusting him today. I speak that to my heart as well. So easy to become cold and religious and formal and professional. No, I need to love and follow Jesus day by day and trust him alone to burn brightly to the end so that when he comes, I'm ready. He could take me home today. He could come back now. Friends, I want to be found ready, and I want us to be found ready as faithful followers of Jesus. What's your spiritual temperature like? Are you burning brightly following Christ? Are you trusting him to the end? This parable calls you, if you're not a Christian yet, to run to Jesus for rescue. This parable calls us, if we're believers today, to keep running to Jesus and to live for him and to love him day by day. If your heart is cold, repent and turn back to him. He gladly welcomes you. Can you see? Can you see why Arthur Stace kept writing the word eternity? Eternity. I'm not going to say it 50,000 times. Eternity. It gripped him. It shaped his life. He wanted to get people ready for eternity who are not the Lord, and he wanted to be ready himself by holding on to the Lord and holding him out to people. Friends, how will we respond to the challenge of this parable? Jesus says there's a foolish way and there is a wise way. Let's be prepared and seek wholeheartedly to love and follow and know Jesus. And let's have the guts to take three of these invitations away. Give them to your neighbours. Give them to your friends. Invite them. They need eternal life. Invite. But maybe today you've heard this and you think, I'm not ready. I need to turn to Jesus. Do you know, you can just say to Jesus, Jesus, forgive my sins. Come into my life. Open the door to heaven for me. I want to trust and follow you until you return. Just ask him and he will come in. And he will change everything. Jesus says, therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour. Let me pray. Lord, we don't want to mess around in life. We want to be wholehearted for Jesus to burn brightly to the end of our lives, following him and ready for him. So come by the power of your Spirit and fill us afresh. Warm, cold hearts. Give us energy, Lord, to live for Christ and to trust Christ and to serve Christ. And if we're not yours, Lord, help us to see Jesus for who he is and welcome him today, that we might have life eternal, assured through his death for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.